By way of orientation, for those who might be visiting with us, we are making our way through the Lord's Prayer as we have been preaching through Luke. We've come to the 11th chapter after a year and a half or so of being in Luke, and we are taking the time to walk through each of the petitions in the Lord's Prayer and to be challenged in our heart and mind by what we find in those petitions. Last week, we focused in on the second petition, Thy Kingdom Come. And we dealt with the reality of our own hearts needing to be conquered by the gospel, but also the furthest distant land being conquered by the gospel. And you know me, I don't dote on guests very much, but a couple guests that my family have with us today are Eric and Julie Wilgen. And if you want all the dirt on Joel, Eric is the guy, because he was in the student development office with me as we were reprimanded by Patrick Macer, who you might remember. But Eric has spent his life since our graduation ministering in Africa, and he and Julie are preparing to go to the Central African Republic and to do church planting there. So, Lord willing, in January, they'll be taking off to France to learn French, because this is the French-speaking part of Africa. And Eric's had amazing adventures as a single man and now married the last 4 years. 4 years to Julie. And Pedro the camel, you can ask him about his camel that he traipsed around Africa with and all of this. So, Eric is one of my heroes, to be frank, because he has spent his life doing exactly what we talked about last week, challenging the dark places of this globe with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so this week we come to kind of an extension of that petition, but slightly different. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And we begin, as we're examining, really what I'm conveying to you is the larger catechism's summary of the Lord's Prayer. I'm not up here trying to come up with something, you know, newfangled and shiny and shimmery. I'm not having any special revelation in my office here. I'm communicating to you a 500-year-old summary of this part of Scripture, but hopefully in a way that is relevant to you in your life in this day and age. And these are definitely petitions that are word-bound. They are word-bound. We've, throughout our worship service today and in the Scripture reading, have seen how the law impacts our worldview and our self-view. The Apostle Paul saying, I wouldn't know that I had a coveting problem if the law didn't say, don't covet. We wouldn't know that we had a murdering problem if the law didn't say, don't murder, and the New Testament didn't expound that to say, if you hate your brother, you've murdered him. So it reveals to us the reality of our sin. Without Scripture, we would not know right from wrong. Abraham Lincoln, when being presented a Bible by some freed slaves from Baltimore during the Civil War, said, it has always been a sentiment with me that all mankind should be free. So far as able within my sphere, I have always acted as I believe to be right and just, and I have done all I could for the good of mankind generally. In regards to this great book, I have but to say, it is the best gift God has given to man. All the good the Savior gave to the world was communicated through this book. But for it, we could not know right from wrong. All things most desirable for man's welfare here and hereafter are to be found portrayed in it. I hope he didn't talk like that during the election, or else he would have been unelectable. God's Word tells us what is right and what is wrong. It reveals to us God's will. Young people, you are at a stage of life when you are looking for God's will for your life, for your career, for your major, for your spouse. And it is so easy to fall into a pagan ideology that is looking for some supernatural revelation. And you see that young man or young woman walking across campus and the clouds part and the sun shines down and you say, that must be the one. If you go about it that way, you are probably setting yourself up for a living hell if the marriage lasts that long. Rather than using the wisdom that God has given us in His Word to decipher and make the decisions that we need to make. And frankly, as we look at Scripture, and this takes us to our big point for today, your natural heart wants none of God's will. In Christ, pray God makes earth like heaven. And we'll deal with that. Then serve Him powerfully, knowledgeably, submissively, and immediately. Your natural heart wants none of God's will. We see, firstly, pray under the gospel presupposition that outside of Christ and without God's revelation, you are bent against God and toward the world, the flesh, and the devil. And we need to remember that even in the garden, even pre-fall, and as I went to the state fair this week, I had the question, I wonder what the state fair was like pre-fall. Okay? There's a lot of interesting folk at the state fair, especially on Dollar Day. And I just wondered, what would gatherings like this be like if nobody here had a sin nature? Would we still have the Krispy Kreme burger? Would Bill still eat the stuff that he eats at the state fair if he didn't have a sin nature? We would have perfected the Krispy Kreme burger by now. We need God's revelation even before we fell. Adam and Eve had not sinned, but they still needed God's Word to direct them in how they were to live, what to eat and what not to eat. God's revelation was supreme, even in the perfect garden before the fall. And we need to pray under this gospel presupposition. And the Catechism says it this way, acknowledging that by nature, we and all men are not only utterly unable and unwilling to know and do the will of God, but prone to rebel against His Word, to repine and murmur against His providence, and wholly inclined to do the will of the flesh and the devil. Now again, this gets us into an issue of our positional justification and sanctification, and the reality in which we live, our progressive sanctification, where God is making us more and more like Christ. When God sees us in Christ, He sees us as holy. But the reality is, we are progressively learning to live in that reality. We are progressively being sanctified. And from time to time, and occasion to occasion, like from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. and 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. and 10 a.m. to noon, we use our bodies to serve sin. And to still be instruments of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And Paul says in Romans 7:18, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out." 1 Corinthians 2, "The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned." Paul again in Romans 8, "For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot." We begin to understand that this is a battle of the mind. This is a battle of the thought life. This is a battle of are we or are we not sanctifying Christ as Lord in our hearts day to day. And this is a gospel presupposition Because Ephesians 2, we read, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience." This is who we were. But in Christ, God sees us as righteous. So it's part of the good news to first receive the bad news that the good news addresses. So pray under this presupposition, knowing that apart from Christ, outside of the gospel, outside of our union with Him, we do not want to know God's will. And even when we know it, even when we read it in the Scriptures, our hearts are bent against it because we hate it. We want to do what we want to do. And so secondly, pray for spiritual awakening, strength, and purity. And as the Catechism begins to then unfold from this presupposition, how we pray, it says we pray that God would by His Spirit take away from ourselves and others all blindness, weakness, indisposedness, and perverseness of heart. Ephesians 1, Paul prays that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints. In Ephesians 3, again, that He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being. We're reminded in the garden, When he confronts the disciples of sleeping at prayer meeting. Oh, that prayer meeting were long enough that we would fall asleep. But they fall asleep and Jesus says, remember, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We need that weakness rooted out of us. Psalm 119, blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. We need all this blindness and weakness, this indisposedness, this perverseness of heart. We need it rooted out of us. We need it to be sanctified from us. And so we need to be awakened by the Holy Spirit. We need to be strengthened by the Holy Spirit. And we need to be purified by the Holy Spirit as we are conformed to the image of Christ. And so we begin to pray that Christ, in Christ, that God would make earth like heaven. And how is earth like heaven? Well, the Catechism begins to address this. And it becomes like heaven when we serve Him in power and knowledge and submission and immediacy. And so we come to number three and our final point, but probably our longest one for today, lest you get your hopes up. Number three, pray for gospel obedience. Pray for gospel obedience. And by His grace, make us able and willing to know, do, and submit to His will in all things. My friends, this isn't obedience that saves. That has never been the case for God's people. But it is obedience rooted in our position in Christ. Because we are saved, we then seek to know, do, and submit to His will in all things. So that we might sing with the psalmist, I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. Or lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Find my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. That we would say with the apostles in Acts 21, let the will of the Lord be done. That we would truly come to understand with the prophet Micah what is good and what the Lord has required of us to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with our God. Or as we sang this morning, even to serve the Lord with gladness and come into His presence with singing. Are you, in this moment, serving the Lord with gladness in the courts of His house? Or is this a beating to you? Do you have joy in the Spirit? Do you revel in the worship of our sovereign Savior King? As we submit even to the difficulties of life, as we might say with Job, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And I believe all of us in this room, as I look around this room, know what it is to sit in the emergency room or in the hospital room or in the hospice care or in court and watch our lives and our loved ones disintegrate in front of us, and to submit to that difficult providence in our lives. And to say with joy even, "The Lord gave and the Lord is taking away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." It is a difficult thing, but it is what we are called to do. Obedience in all things. And so my question to you today is, what are you neglecting in your obedience? In what area of your life are you holding back from what you know to be the full will of God as He is revealed in His Holy Scriptures? We might also ask, to what are you giving yourself that is superfluous, that is extra and not needed to the gospel? To what are you devoting time and attention that distracts from an unhindered obedience to Christ in all things? And this is where earth begins to look like heaven. As the Catechism goes on to summarize biblical teaching, with the like humility, cheerfulness, faithfulness, diligence, zeal, sincerity, and constancy as the angels do in heaven. This is the battle of the mind. Children, do you obey your parents? This is a primary way for you to show your obedience to Christ. Do you obey with slothfulness? Do you drag your feet after this level, Mom and Dad? I'm working on some more carpal tunnel here. Kids, you'll know what that is eventually. After this game, children, do you obey cheerfully as unto the Lord? Adults, do you tell the Lord, after this TV show, "I know I have some things I need to do, but after this show is over, or after this career, or after this football game, or after this hobby, then I'll focus on what Christ is calling me to focus on"? The book of Hebrews quotes the Psalms and it asks this question, "Unto which of the angels did He say at any time, 'Today, You are My Son, I have begotten You'?" We might dramatize it a little bit this way. "Unto which of the angels did He say, 'Do this or go there'?" And the angels say, "Just a minute." "Gabriel, I need you to go talk to Mary." "Hold up. I got a couple things to do. And then I will get around to completing the will that You have for me, Sovereign God." What Scripture calls us to, my friends, is doing all that God has commanded us to do, and to do it humbly, cheerfully, faithfully, with diligence, zeal, sincerity, and constancy, like unto angels. We might say with Isaiah, please, O Lord, remember how I have walked before you in faithfulness with a whole heart and have done what is good in your sight, as he quotes Hezekiah in that moment. Or again with the psalmist, you have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Psalm 119, oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Do you annoy yourself when you realize you are not doing what God has called you to do? Are you willing to let go of in your life what needs let go? Or when you come across those moments of difficult providence because of difficult obedience, do you dig in your heels and say, no, but I expect God's blessing anyway? Psalm 103, the angels are commanded, bless the Lord, O you, His angels, you mighty ones who do His word, obeying the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all His hosts, His ministers who do His will. Many times it's because of our kingdom that we're trying to build, our strength that we want to live in, our power that we want to have, that we might view it as weakness to submit to the simple commands of Scripture. My friends, I don't think you would find many more powerful beings in the universe than the angels. If God would so will and an angel would appear right here in the worship service this morning, I don't think we'd all sit there going, hey, look, an angel. Isn't that neat? I think you would freak out if God would reveal in physical manifestation an angel to you this morning. It is not that the angels are powerless or weak, so they have nothing but to submit to the sovereign God in the midst of their power, in the midst of all that they have been made to do. They immediately do what God calls them to do. In the Proverbs, it calls us not to despise the teaching of our father and mother. Again, this is a battle of the mind. Children, if you despise your parents, you will eventually despise all that your parents tell you, which for the Christian parents in this room means that you will eventually begin to despise the gospel and Jesus Christ. It's a battle of the mind. Will you choose to joyfully and in surrender obey your parents? And parents, adults in this room, will you with joy, will you with power and knowledge and submission and immediacy, will you obey God's revealed will for your life? Will you obey His commands in Scripture? Will you be conformed to the image of Christ? Or will you fight tooth and nail, acting as a natural person, wanting none of God's will, wanting none of what He has revealed to you, because it might ruin your fun, or it might ruin your career, or it might ruin something that you hold dear, an idol perhaps of your heart that has caused you to neglect Christ and His commands. My friends, pray for gospel obedience. Pray that by His grace you will be made able and willing to know, do, and submit to His will in all things. And with the like humility, cheerfulness, faithfulness, diligence, zeal, sincerity and constancy as the angels do in heaven, that you would obey that will fully, without delay, without anything hindering you from doing and saying what Christ has called you to. But again, it's a battle of the mind. For what do we do and what do we say that does not first begin in the mind? Our minds being conformed by the gospel of Christ. My friends, your natural heart wants none of God's will. In Christ, pray God makes earth like heaven, then serve Him powerfully, knowledgeably, submissively, and immediately. Stand with me as we pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, I pray with and for Your people this morning and for their pastor and leaders, that You would make us people of obedient living, that we would not only worry about the regulative principle of worship, but that we would be concerned with the regulative principle of life, that in all things we are seeking Your honor and Your glory. We are seeking to bring praise to Your name. We are seeking to see You high and lifted up, that You might draw men and women, boys and girls, to You. Father, give us the strength and the grace to put aside all that hinders our faithful obedience to You. Give us an overwhelming lack of concern for anything that does not build us up in the gospel and cause us to fulfill our obligations to You. We pray in Jesus' name. And church, let's pray together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Psalm 119, Selection J. 119, Selection J. Your hands created and established me. Give understanding Your commands I'll learn. If Adam and Eve needed understanding, if they needed the revelation of God before they fell into sin in the garden, how much more do we need it in the sinful state into which we are born? Let's praise our God.